Hey, comedy fans, welcome to another edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm your host, my name is Vinny, and joining me today in studio, it's your headliner this week, Jeff Dye. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Three Heads Brewing, the makers of Rochester's most delicious beer. Remember, do good things, drink responsibly, and always be kind. Now, let's kick it over to the studio and talk to Jeff. This one. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You may know my guest today from his hit television show Better Late Than Never on NBC, his two Comedy Central specials, and numerous Tonight Show appearances. He's been performing stand-up comedy since high school, and he hasn't looked back. He is also your headliner here at Comedy at the Carlson this weekend. Good morning, Jeff Dye.
What up, dude? Thanks for having me.
Jeff, let's talk about the mustache. It seems to be fresh out of your mind.
I was so insecure about it that I kept telling everyone last night, like, that I'd meet them, and then I go, also, this mustache, like, I felt like I had to address it every time I met someone.
Okay.
Yeah, I was shaving when I landed. I had, like, kind of a beard going. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to get rid of that for the shows. And then my clippers stopped working miraculously at just the mustache. Like, the universe was telling me, rock the mustache.
Interesting.
I know.
Because a lot of bad things going on in the world. The universe was like, you know what? Jeff died.
Yeah, he deserves a mustache. I don't know what's going on. I will say, though, that like I always fart around when I'm shaving. Like I do like silly things. Like I'll put lines here. Because, you know.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, I think every guy does that. And then sometimes I'll give myself like a Hitler mustache or something. Like goof around. You know, just look at yourself in the mirror. You know, look, give yourself mustache, like chops on the mustache or something.
If a guy's told you he's never tried the Hitler mustache while he's shaving, he's probably lying.
Yeah, sometimes it's funny to do that and then send your buddies a picture of it or something. But you never go outside with it. Obviously, it's a terrible whatever. But if it had done that, if it had stopped when I was doing that, I would have had to just go to the lobby and ask for like an actual Bic razor. I would have had to shave the whole thing off. So this is what I look like today. You know, it's gonna be weird.
I feel like it's a brave fashion choice, but you're pulling it off.
That's so very
I would
nice.
Be a little less. I wouldn't be so self conscious about it. It looks
thanks,
fine.
Buddy. Thank you.
You know, it's.
I will say that by showtime, I'm probably gonna get rid of it. I'll find a place. I'll go to one of your Wegmans or whatever. They got clippers there, like hair clippers.
Certainly.
Yeah. Also, what's the deal with Wegmans?
In which regard?
Everyone keeps referencing it, but it's just a store, right?
It is more than a store.
Okay.
It's magic.
It's like Walmart, like a big Walmart, or is it like a Costco?
How dare you?
Is it like a Ralph's? What's it like?
I don't know what a Ralph's is like, but it sounds terrible.
Ralph's
to
is just a grocery store.
So, okay, let's go down this path. Danny Wegmans.
Okay.
Danny Wegman was the founder, and he is credited when he died by Time Magazine as the one who came up with the idea of having multiple things inside of one store.
Interesting.
So, for example, you used to go to the butcher, you used to have to go to the dairy.
Right.
He's the guy who was like, let's slam all this together.
Nice.
And not only that.
He goes, why should the local deli guy make money? I could do it right here at a grocery store.
Minimum wage, come work for me.
How can I screw all these small businesses?
He was a great man, Jeff Dye.
Yeah,
he was a
but
great
you know, think about what you're saying here. He's the guy was like, ugh. There's a film store? No, we'll develop your film right here where you get your milk, because screw the dairy guy.
Yeah, screw Kodak.
Yeah,
across
town. It's interesting. I mean, I don't care. Wegman sounds dope. I'm just saying that sounds like a thing.
Well, here's the thing, man. They make a lot of prepared food. You go in there, get an amazing sub. You get in there, go in there, get sushi, like really fresh, amazing sushi.
It's like a Buc-ee's.
Sure.
Have you been to Buc-ee's?
I have never been to Buc-ee's.
It's not like a Buc-ee's. Wait, so can you buy like... If I wanted a pillow, could I go to Wegmans?
Possibly.
Okay, so it's kind of like a Target.
There's a weird
with grocery?
No. There's no like home good. Like there's maybe an aisle of like you could pick up light bulbs and batteries.
Okay,
and stuff
that.
But mainly groceries.
Okay.
Mainly groceries.
Interesting.
A lot of fancy groceries you're not going to find in a lot of places.
I don't grocery shop. That's a fun thing about me. I've never said I won't grocery shop.
You refuse?
Well, it's boring in there. And it's also like, I don't know what I'm doing. I always look like I'm shoplifting when I'm grocery shopping because I don't know where anything is. So I'm going like down an aisle, looking around, and then I go down another aisle, and then I'm back on that other aisle again to get the next thing on my list. It gives me, I don't like it. So I use Instacart. I just like literally put all the things on my phone, and then I hit order, and someone brings it to my house. It's free.
Right.
And then, yeah, it's great. And then the next time I need groceries, that list is still there, so I can just go order again. So it's very easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've avoided, how did you avoid grocery shopping before Instacart?
So grocery stores offered it as a service for like $10. So like,
okay.
Yeah, you'd literally go to their website, because websites have been around forever. Every everything has a website. I would go to the website. You could find grocery delivery. I think it's basically used for like old people or something. But
Danny Wegman invented it.
Probably. Yeah, probably. Yeah, the but I would, I remember, like, I would tell everyone, I was like, you know, you can get your groceries delivered. And a lot of people like grocery shopping. They're like, well, I want to feel my own avocados and I want to pick my own things, whatever. I don't want to pick my own things. I think it's, but I'd rather pay someone else to do that so I don't grocery shop.
Fair enough. And everybody's yelling at me in the chat, by the way.
Oh, you are?
Robert Wegman was the founder of Wegmans, not Danny. Danny Oof. Is his dumb son.
They're furious.
They're very upset. Like, yeah. Because they're two very different people.
But it's nice that they know that.
Yes.
It's pretty fascinating that they know
Rochester
that.
Rochester has a real weird thing where they get very defensive quickly.
Yeah. It's weird. Noticed that on the show last night.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. So, four more shows this weekend here at Jeff Dye at Comedy the Carlson. You get your tickets right now at carlsoncomedy.com. Now...
So what else is there? There's Wegmans, right? That's what sure, I gotta got to experience. And then everyone says it's a garbage plates, right? Mm. But here's the thing.
Okay.
Those aren't two things you should be at the top of your list for your town. What is Rochester's thing? Is it those?
Snow.
Snow, okay.
Snow's a big thing. So those are the things they tell everybody to check out when they're in town, but I could sing the praises of Rochester.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great
Please
things.
Do.
For example, we have the Strong Museum of Play.
Yeah,
which is the only like real toy museum in the world.
I just heard about it in the truck, and I was like, man, I got to go to this.
They have a pretty slick arcade, too.
Cool. And how much does that cost?
I don't know, $20
just whatever
a
museum
in.
Is. Yeah, and it's always open, like on weekdays and stuff?
Yeah.
Nice.
We can go right after this if you want to go.
I would love to. It sounds awesome.
All right, so you got that. You got, you know, we are the birthplace of a lot of political philosophy in America. Frederick
okay.
Douglass was from here.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, he had Corinthian Hall downtown. Was a major landmark for free thought.
Nice.
Back in the day. Susan B. Anthony's grave is
That's
from here.
That's right. We I heard about that.
The shit out of that a couple years ago. That was good.
Why did they deface it?
When Hillary Clinton was running for president and
yes.
everybody voted for the first woman on the ticket, they
yes.
went and put their I voted stickers on her tombstone. And, you know, there's adhesive on glue.
Yes.
And, you know, the stickers...
That's and, pretty silly, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't a great move.
Susan B. Anthony, I bet she would have hated Hillary Clinton.
I don't know if they would have been friends.
Yeah,
I
don't think
tell
so
you.
At all. Yeah, Hillary would be mad at her. That's interesting.
She'd be like, pantsuits.
Yeah, what is this? why is she dressed like a boy?
Oh, no.
That's what she'd say.
Oh, no.
She was old, you know? That's how it worked. That is interesting. Well, I thought the cemetery was very beautiful.
Okay.
We drove
you already
by,
went by the cemetery.
We drove by on the way to TV.
Okay.
Yeah. And I thought it was very beautiful. Maybe because the snow was on it, but it just looked like old and haunted.
Yeah. Now, you're out in L.A. these days, yeah?
Yes, sir.
How do you like in L.A.?
I love L.A. Politically, it's a little kooky for me, but...
Sure.
It's all good. The weather's always good. People are nice. I also like something about the idea of, like, everyone goes to L.A. to chase their dreams, and everyone rolls their eyes about that. They go, oh, they all came here to chase their dreams. I think it's sweet. I like that everyone there is trying to... That's cool.
A city full of meet cutes.
Yes, yeah, but it's like a city full of dreamers. You know, it's like sweet.
I kind of like that. I could kind of see that.
Yeah, it's nice. That's good for you, kid.
I've never heard anybody say L.A., the people are nice.
They are nice, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, at least the people I know and I meet, they're all friendly. I talk to everyone. So, like, every town I go to, I'm always, like, talking to strangers. And if I don't get coffee if I'm not chatting with the guy that's making the coffee. I don't know. But L.A.'s got, like, a lot of people. Once you talk to them, they're nice.
Do they like to share their dreams with you?
Yeah, probably. They'll talk.
Has there anybody? Has there ever been anybody who's like shared their dream with you and you realize they are really far from achieving it?
My sisters, but it turns out they were right. So that'll make sense in a second.
Okay.
Like they'd be like, "I want to be famous," and I'm like, "Well, for what?" And they're like, "I want to be just famous." And I was like, "You have to have a thing, you know? Like Michael Jordan plays basketball. That's how he's famous." You know,
okay.
Kevin Nash is a wrestler. That's how he got famous. I'm going to be a comedian. That's how I'll be famous. And my sisters were like, well, I just want to be famous. I'm like, well, you got to be famous for things. But turns out I'm wrong because look at the Kardashians. What do they do? They don't do anything. They're famous. Yeah, exactly. And so now I'm completely wrong. There's plenty of people who are just famous. And we don't know how it happened or what happened.
I mean, that if that isn't the greatest endorsement to just move to L.A. and
yeah,
see what happens.
Just see if you get famous because you're hot or you have a butt. And I guess that's good enough now.
Everybody's got one of those.
Yeah, I guess. But her butt's made her famous, so that's good for her.
I'm proud of her for that. I mean, congratulations.
Famous butt.
Congratulations.
The world's most famous butt.
You're a very upbeat guy.
Thanks.
You always seem to be walking down the sunny side of the street. Is there a secret to that?
It's a fun question, and thank you, by the way. Yeah, I don't know. I think life is beautiful. I love life. I get to meet all these nice people. This is, every day is great. I feel like that. Sounds weird. There's not a real explanation.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't sound weird. It's slightly infuriating.
Yeah.
But to some, I could see why some people would be like, the world is terrible. The world is miserable. Because it depends the day of the week for me.
Right.
Like, some days I feel exactly like you feel, where it's like, this is the greatest day in the world.
Yeah.
And other days, like, I wake up and it's snowing, and my wife took my ice scraper from the car.
Yeah, but you got a wife.
Yeah.
That's nice. I just look at all that
stuff.
Look at
this guy.
Yeah, that's nice. Like, you look at all the stuff you got around you. That's nice. You have a job. You got the cool jacket. You know, I was just trying to explain this to Taylor Tomlinson, because she's, like, always, like, mad about everything. And then I was like, or not mad, but she has a lot of anxieties. And
okay.
And she's stressed out a lot. She does a lot of therapy. And she's like, you're so frustrating to be around. And I was like, why? And she was like, because it's like most people are depressed and they have problems. And you're the thing that is in the therapy books that, like, when your friends won't understand you, they're going to say, well, just be happy. And he's like, that's so infuriating. And I was like, okay, Taylor, well, then you pitch me on what's so bad about being Taylor Tomlinson. You're very pretty. Everyone thinks you're hilarious. You have, what, 3 specials on Netflix? I have 0. I've been doing it for 17 years. You have 3 more Netflix specials than me. You're 15 years probably younger than me. You have a sitcom coming out. Why are you driving down the road going, it's so hard to be Taylor Tomlinson? No, you got great parents. Like, I don't know. I just think you think about all the things you got, and you should be happy.
It sounds so simple when you say it like that.
Yeah.
So let's go back in time for you.
Yeah.
You started comedy out of high school, and I always wonder, because, like, I've seen your comedy now, and it's fantastic.
Thank you.
I love your stand-up.
Thank you.
Please come see the shows this weekend. You're really going to have a good time, because Jeff is his own kind of style.
Thanks.
But when you come out of high school, young kids performing stand-up, sometimes they don't really have, like, the life experience to really make things that are, you know, super deep.
Yeah.
That we do now. What kind of things were you joking about and writing jokes about when you were that young?
So when I was a class clown in school, so okay, I already knew how to, like, work a room. It was like I was practicing at all times to be a stand-up comic. Like, as far as, like, you know, you have the class and you got to know, wait for your moments to kind of pop in and say jokes or whatever, or disrupt the class, basically. And then I waited tables. And when you wait tables, each table is like a little comedy room. You've got to read that table. You know, some people don't want you to be making silly jokes when you're their server. Some do. Some people are on dates. You know, you're going to make their date more fun. So you just kind of always, like, reading the things. That being said, I wasn't a stand-up comedian until I was, like, 20. I didn't try stand-up first until I was, like, 23, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, so there was a big gap of high school before I ever stepped on stage. But I was, like, I was a Young Life leader. Yeah, have you ever heard of Young Life?
Okay.
It's like a church thing.
It's like a...
it's like church light.
For teenagers.
Yeah, it's like church light in a way. Like, basically, like, kids, you can't just take your friend to church. They'll think it's weird. You know, people putting their hands up and singing about the blood of Christ is kind of overwhelming.
Sounds
right?
Metal, man.
Scares them away a little bit.
Cool.
So what Young Life was designed to do was to be like, hey, we're going to have a bunch of fun. We're going to eat good food. We're going to have a great time. And if you want to hear about Jesus, we're here for it if you want. You know, but we're not going to push it on you. And also, like, but if you do want to hear it, that's what this is kind of designed for. We can tell you about these stories or whatever. And so I thought that was really cool, and I really liked that. So I was like, when I got out of high school, I wanted to be a Young Life leader.
Okay.
And so I led Young Life. But then we would do these big sketches. I would dress up as a character and be these characters for all the – so it was like I was always kind of like figuring out how to perform and do all this stuff. And then I was like, I'm going to do stand-up comedy at 23. I had this guy was like, you need to be doing something with your humor. And so I decided stand-up comedy. I went to Giggles Comedy Club, and it forever, like, changed.
Seattle, right?
Yep, Seattle. It was an open mic, and it, like, changed my life. I was like, this is what I want to be doing for the rest of my life. And I don't care if I get on movies or sitcoms. Like, as long as every night I can go on that stage and, like, tell jokes, I'll be happy forever.
It's an amazing effect that getting that first laugh has on people, man.
Yeah. And I got, like I said, I got laughs my whole life. Even as a little kid, I would always say silly stuff and get laughs. But, like, yeah, like you just said, to be on the stage and you feel that, like, love coming back, like, it's a nice feeling.
Well, I'm going to pause there for a second. Remind everybody that's watching, you feel free to join the conversation. You can text us 585-484-0265. And I have a couple of tickets to give away to the 9 o'clock show this evening. If you text us "better late than never" and your first name, you're going to be in the running for those, and we will text you and let you know if you won. So you decide you're about 23 years old. You're hitting the open mics.
Yep.
Your life is changing.
Yeah,
lots
it was awesome.
Of great things.
Yeah, I was, like, living in a car.
Really?
Yeah.
Comedians love living in cars.
Oh, we don't love it, but we do it.
I know a couple that love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, a couple of them that really
do. Well, because if you get a gig, you get a hotel room, right? So you're like, well, that saves me on rent, right?
Yeah.
And then if you meet a nice lady that likes you, then you can sleep in her bed maybe. And if worst case scenario, like, actually the worst case scenario is the car. But it goes gig at a hotel.
Yeah.
Spending the night with a woman, number two. And then three would be like, if we're drinking at a bar, I'm like, hey, man, do you mind if I crash here? Like, it's not going to put you out if I just crash on your couch. You can do that pretty often, too. Like,
sure.
Friends just letting you stay. And then the worst is when all three of those have fallen through and you're like, well, I guess I'm going to sleep in the back seat of a Jetta. You know, like that. And that would happen a lot. And you can go to cemeteries. That's a safe place to sleep in your car.
I know a young comic who decided he was just going to live in his car for the summer. He was like, I'm done. I'm done dealing with all this stress. I just want to do comedy. I'm moving into my car for
the
summer.
Saves a lot of money, yeah.
And the one thing that he bought was a car cover.
Oh,
so he's like, I could park wherever I want. No, it's not. Because he had a beat-up car. So he had it under a car cover. So he'd be asleep in the middle of the night, and somebody would see the car in a weird street with the car cover on, and they would always go to, like, see what kind of car it is. Or
that's funny.
To steal it. He was always being woken up by
the
somebody
opposite
trying to
effect.
Break in.
Yeah, that's so sucky. I never thought of it like that. I never had any problems. Actually, one time, this shows how long ago this was, but you remember, like, we had GPSs?
Yeah.
Like, that's all it did. It wasn't, like, on your phone. It was just, like, a little miniature box that you'd put the suction cup on your windshield. For whatever reason, I would leave it on all the time. I didn't want to, like, always be taking it off and putting it back on.
Yeah.
And one night, I was sleeping in the back of my car, and you just hear, kush, like, the window break. I wake up. He's trying to grab the thing, and then I scared him. Because I got up. I'm like, what the? And he's like, oh, God. Like, I started.
Somebody got here first.
Yeah, exactly. And then he just jacked the thing and ran off. But that's the only, like, real close call I had at all when I was sleeping in my car.
That's terrifying.
It was pretty scary, yeah. I had to fix my window, which sucked.
Well, on to better days.
Mm-hmm.
You do it all right now.
Yeah, I'm happy.
So 3 years into, doing stand-up, you were doing Last Comic Standing.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible, man.
Well,
you had to have a natural gift to get to that, you know.
That's not true. Oh,
you
I mean,
don't think so?
I think a little bit's true. Like, I think I was made to do this, but I worked for a comedy club where the owner was less than popular in town.
Okay.
So I got way more stage time than any comic that had 3 years, because he would put me on, you know, 5 days a week, doing way too much time that I had no business being on stage. I was literally an open micer, was opening for Greg Giraldo, Bill Burr. I opened for Mark Maron, Jim Norton. Anytime a headliner would come through every weekend, I was the opening act. Because that way he
didn't
have...
Were you like the house MC?
Not MC, more like a house... Like, so last night we did like a two-man show,
yeah.
Right? And that comic was great. Very funny guy.
Sean Day.
Yeah, great guy. And funny. But like, I was basically doing what he did. Like doing 25 minutes before a headliner as the MC and the middle act. But picture an open micer doing it. So I was just terrible. And the crowd's going, this guy sucks. And that made me wake up every day and like try to write new stuff. Like, okay, I got to do 25 minutes tonight again. How am I going to pull this off? And so I was just doing that so much. So measuring a comic by how many years he's done it is kind of tough, because I probably had the stage time of like an 8-year comic by that point.
I think that's fair. And I wasn't trying to take away anything from the amount of work that you have to put
in. Oh, no, that's not what I meant either.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure we're all clear. We're all good there. So you got on that show, and how did that bridge to MTV for you?
Oh, my gosh. It first of all, people have strong opinions about like Last Comic Standing or America's Got Talent. I'll never talk trash about Last Comic.
Why would you?
It changed my life. Like I just went from sleeping in a car and having to borrow like $200 from my sister all the time to like pay for stuff to literally never worrying about money again. And it's because of Last Comic Standing. That show was so good to me. The second I always
try to remind people, like, a lot of the late night shows aren't what they used to be anymore. The power is on shows like Last Comic Standing and America's Got Talent. It's where the booking eyes went to.
For sure. I wish, though, that my only criticism of AGT and Last Comic Standing is that they love a stuttering guy or a guy with no arms or like an old lady, or it has always has some sort of weird gimmick attached to it.
Yeah.
I wish that they would just care more about the comedy first. Like I would prefer that. And nothing against those comics that I just easily referenced, but like, I don't want to see a little kid doing stand up. You know, they're like, isn't this 8-year-old girl doing stand up hilarious? You're like,
nope.
No, it's not good.
Not a little.
I can name 100 guys who should be on that show who I wish were famous. So that's my only criticism of it. But from Last Comic Standing, Ashton Kutcher's team. He has like a production company. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what it's called. It doesn't matter. They saw me and were like, dude, we got an MTV show that we'd love to have Jeff Dye like come in and audition to be like the host. And it was called Numb Nuts. And that it was called that because there was like Jackass, the Dudesons, and the Numb Nuts. They were trying to like build like a kind of young guy doing crazy stuff. Mm. Kind of stable, if you will. And so I came and auditioned for the thing, and they were like, yep. And they made me the host of the show. So I was like working with Ashton Kutcher, not every day, but it was his team and stuff. Sure. Like a month later, like a month after everything changed, it was just like my life was insane.
Without any real broadcast background.
I knew nothing. Yeah, like I was just like but I guess talking on stage kind of makes it feel a little bit more natural to read like host dialogue.
I feel like you have to know how to be bigger than yourself to be an opening act just in general. You have to have kind of a big personality.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing with television or broadcasting. You have to be bigger than the room for it to come across to people through a camera.
Absolutely. And also, Brian Regan once was talking about this. He's like, the day I learned that I'm not telling jokes, I'm performing jokes, is when my whole career like turned around. He was like, that's when I realized like, yeah, I'm not just, it's not, it can be chin to chest and be very funny, but he's like, but like by performing, it just made everything open up for him. And I was like, oh, that's really smart. Like I've never thought of it like that.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you're doing MTV, NBC comes calling again?
Yeah. NBC was like, they had me under like a development contract because Last Comic Standing they can decide like, well, we broke you. They have to pay for it, but they basically give you a bunch of money to lock you up for a year. And then they find a place that they can put you in. And I remember the guy going like, oh, well, Jim Halpert's getting married on The Office and you could play like his like younger brother. Like that would be perfect for you. And I had like the long hair that looked like Jim Halpert. So it was whatever. And, then they all got fired. Everyone at the NBC got fired at the top. So then new people came in. And like it was almost like the new people, well, it's not almost like, the new people had no idea who I was.
Right.
So I was just not allowed to work for a year. And I was just sitting like with money at my house going, I wonder when NBC's going to call, you know, whatever. So then after that, I did Extreme Makeover Home Edition, which was people probably heard of that show. And then just did a bevy of different things, just a bunch of TV.
It's interesting though, because they spent a year not knowing what to do with you.
Yeah.
And during that time, what'd you do? Just go do stand-up?
Just stand-up every night, yeah, which was very fun.
God, also, is that the dream?
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, it was pretty cool. In fact, my dream is to do exactly what I'm doing now, just for way more money. My life wouldn't change at all.
My dream is?
What?
Do it exactly what you're doing now for way more money. I think I'm in on that.
Yeah, it's fun. Because I'm like, that's how I know I truly love stand-up. Is because if someone tomorrow said, we figured you out. Against the rules. All right, would comics make no more money? The jig is up. Comics make $0. I would still do it every night. Whereas if someone put $1 billion in my bank account tomorrow and they said, you're rich, you're a billionaire, I would still do this every night. That's how I know I really love it, because I would still do exactly what I'm doing no matter what the circumstances were.
No, there's no price.
No price
for Jeff Dye.
Yeah, I just love doing stand-up. It's so fun.
So tell me about the Friendship Podcast.
Yeah. The Friendship Podcast is, I film out of my house, and the only rule to be on the show is you gotta be my friend.
Okay.
Yeah. Or be willing to be my friend. And so but it really works because when someone agrees to do my podcast, they have to come in through my living room. They have to go upstairs to my kitchen area. I pour them a drink out of my fridge. They're walking by the bed that I sleep in upstairs, and then we walk into the studio. It's like, they really open up because they're going, man, I'm like in this dude's
house.
Yeah, living space. Like this, and it makes them more open to talking about like whatever. Like so many times I've had comics leave the podcast and go, one, that was really, really fun. Two, you know, I'd say we're you know, I really value our friendship. Three, can you clip out that one part when I said, because they get so comfortable.
Yeah.
That they forget what they've shared. And they're like, oh, that might not look good. Or, oh, I shouldn't have talked shit about so-and-so. But it's fun. It's called Jeff Dye's Friendship. You can watch it on Patreon for a small fee, or you can hear it for free wherever you get podcasts.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Now, are you still doing the podcast with Freddie Prinze Jr.?
I do a once-a-week podcast with Freddie Prinze Jr. called Wrestling with Freddie, a.k.a. Wrestling with Friends. And why it's called that is because the abbreviation is WWF.
Got
so
it.
We can use WWF legally.
That's actually pretty brilliant.
It's pretty fun. And every week, me and Freddie just talk all things wrestling, whatever we want to talk about. So I know Jim Cornette feels the need to like talk about everything because he's the mayor of wrestling. But we just talk about what we like. So like if Raw sucked that week, we're like, all right, we're just not going to talk about it. We'll talk about SmackDown and AEW.
Sure.
And it's very, very fun. It comes out every week. That's on anywhere you get podcasts, called Wrestling with Freddie. And then I also have one called 12 Packs with Jeff Dye,
yep,
where we just drink beer and open packs of cards. I prefer to open baseball cards. But
that's fun, man.
It's awesome. So like literally while I was here, Topps had sent a bunch of packages to my house. And I have like a buddy who the hurricane screwed up his living situation. So he's been crashing in my guest room. But he was like, hey, you got a bunch of boxes from Topps. And I'm like, what a life. Topps is sending me like Panini.
I almost can't handle it. That's crazy.
Panini and Topps and Upper Deck just send us free things to open. I'm like, this is the most... I don't know how I'm getting away with that. You know, like I just get to open free cards all the time. And like we hit like some big breaks on there. Like it's pretty exciting.
Wow.
And if the card is very, very expensive, we either sell it and we put it in this account because one of our guys, we call him Skinny George. He lost like some crazy amount, like 200 pounds or something. He's lost all this weight. Looks great. But he's got all this extra skin because he used to be a huge guy. So we're trying to get him a surgery to remove the skin. And I don't know what that would be called. What the technical...
Skinectomy?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Just get him a tattoo to help cover it. I don't know. Whichever's easier.
Well, to describe it sounds kind of gross. But that's a thing. When you lose a bunch of weight, yeah, you know, you got to get rid of all that extra skin. I couldn't tell you. I didn't know. Yeah, I don't know. Neither one of us would know. So we're trying to... If the card is really big, we sell it and we're putting it towards him. Some of the stuff we just like keeping because, you know, it's like our own personal collection.
What's the coolest to you?
I love anything like... I like Seattle Mariner rookies.
Okay.
So like right now, J-Rod, Cal Raleigh.
Nice.
For a while, I was trying to catch Kyle Lewis, but now he's getting traded to the Diamondbacks, so that's frustrating. And then Jared Kelenic is another young guy that I was collecting, but he looks like he might get traded away because we just signed an outfielder. But anyways, so I love just cracking those. It's fun to crack Star Wars cards. Topps Chrome has a bunch of new Star Wars cards that are out, which is really cool. There's some cool stuff in there. Mandalorian cards. We have comic book cards. Like pretty much any kind of card we'll crack.
Just crack them open and see what happens.
Well, because it also inspires so much conversations. So like during the pandemic, like I would buy a box of cards, and then me and my buddy Aaron Marshall or my buddy Tyler, we would just sit there. We'd drink whiskey, smoke cigars, and we would just open cards. So many things would inspire like a conversation. We'd go, oh man, do you know who this guy is? I remember when I was this age. So like it's a good thing to start conversations with for sure.
I feel like the art of card collecting is completely disappearing. I feel bad for companies like Topps because now everything's like kind of NFTs and they're trying to digitize everything.
That's stupid.
The joy of opening a pack of cards is going to be gone for a generation, I feel like.
Also, the people that are into it, because there's a big market for it right now, those people that are cracking the cards now, that are making money, even the people that are doing it, are doing it for the wrong reasons. They're all trying to get these one-of-ones, mm-hmm, LaMelo Ball, or, ooh, I got Patrick Mahomes. It's an auto relic one-of-one. This is going to sell for $700,000. We say it all the time on the podcast. Who cares what it costs? Yeah. It's just fun to open the cards and look at them. And it's cool to get a good card. Why wouldn't you want a good card? But, like, if you're just doing it because you're like, I'm going to sell this. Either like that, you're doing it wrong.
It's what I love. Jeff, I got to tell you, man, I really am starting to love you because it's the joy of the game, man.
Yeah, it should be fun.
It's the joy of the chase. It's the joy of the discovery. That's the value.
Yeah, hanging out with your buddy and looking at that. That's the fun part. Yeah, not putting it on eBay and trying to make $100,000. Also, like this funny thing that happened. Amy Sedaris is a very talented comedic actress and comedy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Strangers with Candy.
But she was my least favorite character on The Mandalorian. I thought she was terrible on it.
Okay.
I don't think anybody did terrible on Mandalorian except her. Like, I hated the character. I just didn't like her on that. I love her, but just that one character, I was like, ugh.
Folksy.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah.
It was too, like, it wasn't Star Wars. It didn't feel like Star Wars. It felt like when she was on, it was like some weird dress-up. But that's okay. I still love her. No disrespect. But so, like, we're cracking Mandalorian cards, and I got, like, an Amy Sedaris card, and I was like, oh, check out this one. And I just, like, crumpled it up, right? That's because I don't care what it cost. it was to make my buddies laugh, to just crumple up her card. They're like, what are you doing? I was like, I don't care. It's Amy Sedaris' autographed card. Who cares? Like, whatever. They're like, you could have sold it. I was like, I don't want it. It was more fun to make you laugh by crumpling it up and putting it in the... Yeah, it's just more fun.
There's the kid with, like, the skin flaps going, hey, what
you doing? Yeah, exactly. He's going, we could have sold that. I was like, no, sorry, buddy.
It's still a lot of fun. So, Jeff, you've did this show, and we got to talk about it a little bit because people are going to kill me if I don't ask about it. Better Late Than Ever.
Yeah.
You got to travel the world with four of, I mean, a lot of people's heroes. Like, every single one of them has a cult following.
We're the same, or maybe you're younger than me.
I'm 40.
Okay, I'm 39, so we're the same age.
Okay.
So they were basically our parents' heroes.
Right. I was going to say, they're like a generation past me.
Like, if I got to travel with Ken Griffey Jr. and Hulk Hogan, right, like, I could name guys that are younger than these guys that would have been, like, my heroes. So that was another reason I was able to keep it. You know, I wasn't, like, wildly starstruck because I didn't watch Happy Days. George Foreman was retired and then came back for a little while before I was born. Terry Bradshaw was a broadcaster. I didn't see him play a single snap of football.
Never once in my life.
And William Shatner, he's 90-something years old. Like, I didn't watch Star Trek or any of those things, you know, and not when he was on it. I always saw Picard, but I didn't see.
Right.
So that was easy for me to, like, keep it cool. But I did have, like, I had a respect for these guys. You know, all that being said, I still knew who they were, right? That's how famous they were, is that, like, I knew all these guys. And it took about 40 minutes before I felt like we were, like, good friends. Like, I was wrestling with Terry Bradshaw in the airport, on the ground, wrestling with him within, like, the first 30 minutes of meeting him.
Wow.
Yeah, like, we just immediately hit off. Shatner was the toughest one because he's, like, he tries to do his own thing. He tries very hard to fit out.
He's very bizarre.
Yeah, he doesn't try to fit in much.
He came to Rochester and did a big event a few years ago at the Kodak Theater.
Okay.
And it was very... It was so bizarre. My cousin bought tickets to it. His friends didn't want to go with him. It was go watch Wrath of Khan with William Shatner.
So they played the movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they did, like, a Q&A with him after. It was the weirdest thing I've ever been to in my life. I was just like, well, I love Wrath of Khan. I'll go watch this.
This is going to sound so mean. I don't find him very interesting at all.
I fell asleep during his Q&A because all he talked about was dressage.
What's dressage?
It's like the fancy horse dancing stuff that he does on some ranch.
Yeah, so you're like, we came to see Wrath of Khan. You want to talk about dancing horses?
So when Ricardo Montalban was saying this to you, what was going through your brain? He's like, well, my horse could do a turn, left turn, kick, turn, left.
Ugh.
And, like, he was just going on every rabbit trail but what people were asking him. And I was going to say, I feel like that would be infuriating to be traveling the world with.
I do love him, but he's a very unique guy. I've never met anyone like him. What I will say is, do you know how young people are, like, know-it-alls?
Yeah.
Like, young people have the internet, so they're just such know-it-alls. Well, William Shatner's kind of like that, is that, like, he's always, he wants you to think he's the smartest guy in the room. He wants you to think he's wise, but he's a regular guy. He's not special or, like, what. So, like, that's what he's always trying to prove to you, how wise and how smart he is. But he isn't that wise and he isn't that smart. So it's, you know, like, just kind of just be with us. You know, like, you don't have to always be teaching us something. You don't always got to be, like, talking down to us. Like, just be with us.
Dude, you hosted Rescue 911. Calm down a little bit.
Well, but one of the only times I ever made him laugh, because the other guys, I make him laugh all the time, but Bill's a tough sell, is... We were in the Sahara Desert, which is just wild that I can say that. I'm at the Sahara Desert with William Shatner.
And Fonzie.
And he's telling this story or whatever. And he was talking about how he had lacked a confidence. I was like thinking to myself, why am I being so insecure? Like, I'm Captain Kirk. And then I stopped him in his story. I go, you know, you weren't a real captain, right? Like, you know, like, have you ever thought, like, you know, you weren't really a captain? And he just started laughing because it was like he was coming to that realization too. Like, oh yeah, that was a show. Like just because you were acting all these things.
I really did boss all those people around too. Maybe
you weren't really on an airplane and there was a gremlin on the wing. Like that was fake, you know. But that made him laugh, but because he was realizing it then too. Like, oh yeah, like, I wasn't a captain, but
that's interesting.
Yeah.
So Bradshaw was chill.
Bradshaw's the greatest human I've ever known.
I kind of love Terry Bradshaw. He's so much fun to watch on everything.
He's so fun to be around. He's just very pawy and touchy. He always knows everyone's name. He's always, like, goofing off. He's got a great story for everything, great attitude about everything. He I've had people say to me, I think I would find him annoying. And I always correct him. I go, I promise you, if you met him, you wouldn't. You might find what he does on TV a certain way. But, like, if you were in the room with him, he fills the room with just love. Like, he's the nicest, sweet. He'll look you in the eye. He'll tell you a thing. Give you a big hug, goodbye, even though you met him for 10 minutes. Like, he's just such a good dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you did that show for 2 seasons.
Yep.
Do you stay in touch with any of those guys? Has Terry ever text you?
I was at dinner with Terry last week.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. He comes to L.A. every week to do football. And so I'm usually on the road on the weekends, but it worked out that he was doing a speaking engagement like in Atlanta. So he had to stay all Sunday instead of leaving right after football. So I got to go get dinner with him and have some drinks. And he's just the best. Nice. I text Henry pretty often.
Okay.
Me and George talk about once a year. And then I've done a couple things with Bill, but it was total coincidence. It was just like someone from the show we were working on said, hey, I'm going with this thing to Bill. Do you want to come? So right. It wasn't from him. But
I need you to settle a bet for my friend and I.
Yeah.
Real legit fist fight.
Oh, wow.
Who wins?
Okay. I thought you were going to have a fist
fight. No. Real legit fist fight. Who wins? Shatner or Winkler?
Real fist fight?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That's tough because Bill is significantly older than Henry, so that makes me want to pick Henry.
Yeah, but like, there's something about Shatner where I wouldn't count him out.
Yeah, he's an ornery guy, and he seems like he could fight. And then also, Henry is so sweet. Like, Henry's like the nicest guy. He'd be like a peaceful pacifist, and then Bill would be trying to kill him.
Okay.
I think that's how it would go. But, I mean, I got to go with age. I think Winkler might, if he fought, I think Winkler'd win.
All right. I lost.
Who'd you have?
I had Shatner.
I think Shatner's the... It's.
I feel like Shatner would be angrier.
But
this
I mean,
is exactly what's my logic.
Henry's in his 70s and Bill's in his 90s. Also, yeah. Bill's like this big. He
but
doesn't
you know
like people
means?
To know that he's a short guy.
But you know what that means? Bill has less to lose.
That is true. Yeah, and I think Bill would bite. I think Bill would like. Bill would go hard.
Okay.
I think you win, actually.
I'll see you for lunch, Kevin. You lost. So, folks, there are 4 more chances to see Jeff Dye this weekend here at Comedy at the Carlson. We hope that you will take advantage of this. Go check those out. You get your tickets at carlsoncomedy.com. Jeff, what's next for you? Are you working on any big projects?
Just stand-up. That's all I'm doing.
I love that, though.
I like the podcast. I like the stand-ups. I stopped chasing that dragon. My agents hate it. Because I've probably got 4 emails sitting there right now like, are you going to submit for this movie? Are you going to submit for this? I don't like it. It's not very fun to be an actor. You sit in a trailer for way too long. Then they bring you a script and they go, memorize this. And then you got to go out. And it's just like, it isn't very fun. It's a lot of waiting around.
Shoot me straight, though. Do you feel that just being able to do stand-up is enough? But you also said to me the dream is to do what you want to do for more money.
Yes.
And don't you think that the roadmap to that is movies and more
used
television?
To be. It used to be.
What is it now?
Now it's like these podcasts because we have YouTube, we have all this stuff. So it's really changed, right? Sam Morrill is one of the highest paid guys right now, like at least in like our level of stand-up. And he's never been on a sitcom. He's not in a movie. Everyone's just word of mouth, like sharing it on internet, sharing it on YouTube. Like there's a way now. Like, because they used to say, well, isn't getting on Johnny Carson and being a clean comedian the best way? And you'd go, yeah, you'd have to. Like, why would anyone do dirty comedy? Because you can't be on Johnny Carson. And then dirty comedy became a thing like on HBO, and you go, well, I guess now you could probably be dirty and be a stand-up. But you still got to have the sitcom, right? Now the sitcom, no one watches sitcoms.
Yeah, it's true. Like, even Red Fox, where they were putting on other sitcoms. Past,
oh, yeah.
Like,
Brett Butler, Roseanne, yeah. Seinfeld, obviously. Mark Cooper, you know, hanging with Mr. Cooper. The way to
Mark
do
Curry,
it.
Right?
Mark Curry, sorry. Yeah. That's what would happen. You'd pop, and they'd give you a show. And if the show did good, you'd become this, like, wildly successful comic, like Drew Carey or any of these guys. Whereas now, you don't have to do that. You can just do what you do, put it on YouTube, and if people like it, they share it, and then you make money.
Fair enough. Last question for you, Jeff, because I know you want to get out of here and go live your life today.
Oh, I'm having a good time.
If you had to start again right now, it's 2022.
Yeah.
You know everything you know about the business, but nobody knows who you are. You're just starting stand-up.
Yeah.
But you have that knowledge. Where do you start? What's the first thing you do?
I guess you just walk into a comedy club and meet some people and get up there and try it. Simple as that. Because there's no shortcut or like secret sauce or anything like that. I will say hanging with comics is helpful. Like I have a group of buddies back home named Willie Simon, very, very funny comedian. Randy Valerio, very, very funny comedian. Jeff Zenasek. These guys, we will just sit around and make each other cry with laughter, just goofing off, sometimes just talking about things, sometimes being inappropriate, sometimes talking about something political, and we will just laugh and laugh. And then, you know, the next day we'll get up and go to coffee and we'll go, oh, that one thing I said was pretty, you're basically making material, yeah, like by just being fun and funny and hanging out with each other. You're not gonna get a lot of good bits from going to your therapist or from, you know, jogging. You're gonna get these bit, go do stuff, go to the Museum of Play with your new friend, you know, like that's, I'll have a whole bit about that tonight if we go, or like, you know, get, go drink, go get into some trouble. That's gonna, don't, you don't need to be keto diet and twitching. You can go live your life, and a lot of good funny comedy is gonna come out of it.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Jeff Dye. Make sure you come see him this weekend here at Comedy at the Carlson. Again, tickets are available at carlsoncomedy.com. I'm not going to be here with you next week, but I wish you all the happiest of Thanksgivings.
Oh, yeah.
And we will see you at the show. Until then, act bright, Rochester. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget, we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.